another episode of Double Shelix. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Sally.
And today we are going to have the first in a series of skill sharing. Skills that you may want to have during graduate school and skills that we definitely wish we had during graduate school.
And in other non-graduate school contexts,
that's true, yeah.
This one is applicable to, yeah, grad school and not.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Because today's super special Skillshare topic is letters of recommendation. So we're going to be covering how to ask for a letter of recommendation, how to write a good letter of recommendation, because as you move on in your career, whether as a graduate student or in industry in a more managerial or mentorship role, you'll be asked to provide letters of recommendation or references to your mentees or students. And I think the first time I had to do it, I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be sharing about that. And also, I think a lot of students in our live shows, that's a thing we always get so many questions about, is letters of recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the topic for today.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with requesting and then get into writing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so requesting. First of all, timeline. Sally, how did you request your letters timeline-wise?
So the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of students have hesitancy about asking for letters of recommendations for a number of reasons. And these reasons kind of combine into like a super procrastination, stress situation that ends up where like a week before you ask for the letter. So I hope that a lot of what we'll be able to cover in this mini episode will be able to help our listeners to feel empowered, like they know what they're doing and they can ask for a letter early. Now, what is early? Like a month? At least,
yeah.
If it's a busy season, or if it's something that you know ahead of time, then earlier. So if it's like you're applying to medical school, and like you know you're applying to medical school, and the application isn't due until like whenever med school applications are due, I don't know, like June or August, whatever, rolling deadlines,
summer.
It's weird. Like if you know, ask soon. And I think a lot of students don't realize, like, let's say that I have a great class in the fall semester. I can say, like, would you write me a letter of recommendation for my summer projects when I get there? And then Professor Kayla's like, of course, Sally, you were such a great student. And then
I won't be shocked when you come back 2 months later and ask for a specific letter with a specific deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. And so timeline early is the most important thing. And I think students don't ask early because they have a lot of fears and anxieties, which we're going to get into.
But also, one last point on timeline. So I have definitely seen the case where students find out about whatever they're applying to very close to the deadline.
Mm, yes.
So if you know about the deadline ahead of time, you should be sending out your requests about 4 to 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
3 to 4 weeks is like, yeah, it can be done, but it's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 weeks is, like, you'd better have a really good reason for this, such as finding out about the deadline, but that can only happen once.
Uh-huh.
Or your letter will suffer a little bit for it. And then 1 week out is, like, good luck.
Yeah, and again, if you're in these last-minute situations, there should be a reason for it besides your anxiety led to procrastination. I mean, we've been there. Like, I've had someone write me a letter of rec, but, like, the last second. And both for good reasons and for bad reasons. So, a bad reason was just I was scared and procrastinated until the last minute and then stressed about it for 5 more days and then asked. Good reason was the person said they would write me one and then never, ever responded. And it was, like, 2 days before and they hadn't written one. And so, I had to get one from a backup person. And they were very understanding. The backup person was very understanding.
So we're going to talk about why students get anxious about
this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's very scary to ask somebody to do something for you, especially when there's a big power dynamic involved.
Yes.
This is my least favorite part of applying for anything. I would rather write 10 proposals than ask for one letter of recommendation. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Even people that have written for me before, so I know they have a draft.
And they just have to change, like, from the Gold Award to be, like, to the Star Award.
My first request always starts off as, like, dear Professor so-and-so, could you, like, please maybe a little bit change your last letter and maybe send it for this other thing? Sorry. Oops, sorry, bye. Okay.
But the thing is, Okay, here's something that I think is underappreciated. Professors are paid to help students get to their next career stage. Mm-hmm. And letters of recommendation are part of this. So if you are asking a professor for a letter of recommendation, assuming that you've, like, done the good things to get one, which we'll get to, it's like their job.
Yes.
So we won't make an episode where we name and shame all the professors that we know who have written bad letters of recommendation for students because the professors are lazy and trash and they don't even bother to, like, change the name of the student in the letter. So the student submits a letter with someone else's name that they clearly control F and then forgot to replace one of them.
It happens.
Like, that, no, but that's, no. So you'll probably have a good professor who will write you a good letter of recommendation.
Yeah.
And if you're worried, ask around. And then you can hear if the person has a reputation as a horrible letter writer, which I only know of, like, two people, so probably they don't. The other thing, I hear a lot of undergrads express concern. They'll be like, I did this internship in the summer, I was in this person's lab for a whole summer, and I never met the PI, so I'm not going to ask for a letter of recommendation because I met the PI my first day, I saw them at group meeting, and I said bye to them at my going away party, but we never met. So I'm not going to ask for a letter of recommendation, even though I was in the lab doing work all summer. How do we feel about this?
They will still be able to write you a letter.
Yes.
Because, guess what? Even if you had met with them four times, they, first of all, can get a pretty good sense in a short amount of time. But also, they're going to consult whoever you worked with directly for the finer details of your letter. And there is a very high chance that they may ask that other mentor that you had to write the letter, which then they will add some flourishing details and then sign their name to.
Wait. So what you're saying is that graduate students and postdocs are writing letters of recommendation for undergrads, and then PIs just zhuzh it up and sign it?
That is what I'm saying, Sally.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, I knew this, but only once I became a grad student and was asked to write a letter for an undergrad. And then I realized, like, oh, the letter that my PI wrote for getting me here was, like, probably written by my mentor, Ryan. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
So.
This isn't, not all professors do this.
No,
but
totally.
But it does happen.
It does happen. Especially if you're in these kind of labs where the professor isn't meeting with undergrads.
Yeah.
Like, they're still going to write you a letter. So, if you were working in someone's lab for the whole summer.
Yeah.
Ask for a letter of recommendation from them. And if they say no.
Yeah.
It's a them problem. Yeah. Unless there was, like, a deep issue, but there probably wasn't. So, like, it's a them problem.
Yeah, hopefully if you're asking them, you have a pretty good sense that you have a good professional relationship, or at least you're in good standing.
Yeah, like, the grad student wasn't bad-mouthing them, you to them, like, every day, which grad students don't do, so.
We'll just assume, in this case, that you have a good working relationship.
Yeah, but, so don't be shy, and it's the professor's job.
Exactly. And on the note of who to request from.
Please.
Research, if you're going for a research position, always someone who has observed your research is best. You don't want to have the letter come directly from your grad student. I have definitely had students ask me if I would write their letter of rec, and I said, dear student, as much as I would love to sign your letter of rec, nobody cares who I am. They care who the professor is of this lab and what they think about you, because they have much more reputational currency, shall we say,
yes, I've also,
in the market.
I've also had students ask me if I would write a letter of recommendation for them, and I say no, but our boss will, and by our boss, I mean me, and then he signs it, which is better for the student anyway.
Yeah.
Though I also do get the sense that sometimes a student will ask me and my boss so they can have two letters of recommendation, but really it should be one letter of recommendation per experience.
Yes.
Unless it was like a co-advised situation with two PIs.
Yeah.
But you don't want, like, two letters of recommendation from the same lab from the same summer.
Yeah. So always somebody who has observed your scientific work is highest priority for asking. Also asking from course instructors is okay as long as you've hopefully gotten to know them over the course. Like, you don't want to be coming from a 500-person lecture and be like, hey, I've never met you, can you write me a letter? And trust me, I have read these letters, and it's not really any benefit to you.
Also, office hours, go to them.
Yes.
Okay, here's another thing. Find out if you know what your next kind of goal is, like graduate school, medical school, business school, whatever. Find out the norm for the number of letter of recommendations needed and start plotting out who those people might be ASAP.
Yes.
For example, one of the people that wrote me a very strong letter of recommendation, I mean, I assume it was strong because I got in. but I'll know, I know it's strong because I got in specifically to places where when we met, she was like, ah, my good friend so-and-so is there. So, like, all the places where she had, like, buddies, I got in. And, like, places where she didn't, I didn't get in. So, that's how I know it was, like, a strong letter from mm-hmm. her specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I first had her in my freshman year. And I was like, you're amazing. Oh, my God. And then I would just go to her office hours every semester to kind of keep the relationship alive. So that when I would go to her for a letter of recommendation for a summer internship and then eventually for graduate school, she could write about, like, our long-standing history and, like, her watching me evolve as a student or, like, whatever. So if there's someone that you enjoyed their class freshman or sophomore year, just make sure that you're maintaining that relationship and you don't just show up as a senior.
Exactly. Yeah, and when you get to graduate school, or if you're already in graduate school and you're listening to this, guess what? You still get to be asking for letters of recommendation, such as fellowships. There's always fellowships to apply for. So once you're there, you can still ask from PIs that you've worked with during undergrad, but you should be transitioning into people that you've been getting to know through your graduate experience. So if it's your first year and you're still applying for fellowships, it's great to get from your undergrad PI because obviously they've spent more time with you. But also, you need to show that the people that you're working with now are also
supporting you.
And supporting your work. So get to know the faculty in your department, if there's somebody that you're collaborating more with, if you're going to teach with someone, that's a great person to ask. Yeah.
Yeah, and also grad students, you can also go to faculty's office hours.
Yes.
Like, most faculty are just sitting by themselves in their office hours, unless it's the week before the midterm. So,
you don't
have to be in someone's class to go to their office hours.
Yeah. So, okay, so you have identified mm-hmm. who you're going to ask. You've laid the relationship. You're getting towards the timeline. It's 4 to 6 weeks out, so you're about to send the request. What are you actually going to send them?
Email them. Keep it short. Include the following information. Reminder of how they know you.
Yes.
If it's your PI, obviously you shouldn't hopefully need that. But sometimes, you know, these like 27,000 person labs, like you should include that. Hi, it's me. I'm in your lab. I work with Kayla. You know.
Yes.
Use your judgment on that one. How they know you. Or like, I really enjoyed your summer 2017 seminar about the class I took from you about this. Okay. Your CV, which you attach. You just say, my CV is attached so you can read up on me. What you're applying for.
Yes.
Okay. Like, is it a summer research internship? Is it medical school? If you get any sense of what the thing that you're applying for is looking for specifically, like, I'm applying for this summer research internship. It's specifically for engineers interested in environmental science. They are looking especially for students from underrepresented backgrounds. As you know, I identify as a student from an underrepresented, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Show how you align with what they're looking for. And if you get the sense that they're looking for students, or like, this is a program specifically for students from mid-tier universities to get experience at top-tier universities so that they know to pitch you in that kind of specific way.
Or this is a program geared at getting you into a research-related job later on.
Yeah, or this is for people who don't have any lab experience to get their first lab experience. That way, when you don't have any lab experience for them to write about, that's okay.
Yep.
Or this is a thing for people who have a lot of lab experience to, like, pretend that they're in grad school for a month to see if they like it.
Exactly.
Whatever it is. Like, say what it is.
So about 3 sentences.
Yeah, so that's 3 sentences.
It doesn't have to be long.
Yeah, yeah. And then include a draft of your essays.
Yes.
Because the PI who's writing you the letter of recommendation, they're going to want to, like, do a good job. And so being able to read your essays, they can, like, reference things that you included in your essays for their own letter.
Exactly.
You should also offer to have a meeting, but don't have the expectation of a meeting.
Yeah.
Some PIs would like to meet with you to learn more. Some PIs would literally pay $1,000 to not have a meeting.
Yes.
They won't pay you $1,000, but they just won't meet with you, yes. Which is fine. Okay, so you send that email.
Oh, and deadline. So also send a deadline. That is, I like to make it its own sentence. The deadline for this application is blah, blah, blah.
Yes, and also if you're applying to many things, like let's say you're applying to 3 different summer research programs, or you're applying to 4 different medical schools, or whatever, I did make a spreadsheet where I put like what I'm applying, like each university, and then like what's the link,
yes,
to the application page or the PDF form or whatever they have to do, and then like what's the deadline.
Yes, so they can reference it. In reality, you're probably going to still send reminders because that is a lot for them to keep track of. But give them that information ahead of time, so at least they can say, okay, I still have this many weeks to do it, and then slowly let that information permeate, and then still write it 2 days before it's due.
Question. So if they're literally not going to do it until the week before, which, let's be real, that's real, why should you email them 6 weeks ahead?
To give them time, and also so that they can think that you're such a responsible person, and they feel like they're not rushed, and then they can write a nice letter, even though they're still going to do it 2 days ahead.
Yes. When I was in high school applying to college, I applied like to schools where you have to turn it in on New Year's Eve, like for the early application or whatever. And it was like the last day before Christmas break. And I went to one of my letter writers who was like a young teacher at the time. And I was like, yeah, hi. Just a reminder, like, please like write my letter of recommendation for college so that I can go to Stanford maybe. Please. And he goes, no problem, Sally. Just email me after Christmas. And I was like, it's due on New Year's Eve. And he goes, yeah, yeah, just after Christmas. No, just no problem. So I emailed him, like, on the 26th. And I was like, just a reminder. And he did it. He wrote it. It was fine. But as a, like, first-time letter recommendation asker, age 17, I was like, this is the worst day of my life.
You're just these waiting procrastinators. 12:01 a.m. on the 26th.
To I know. Yeah, basically, that's yeah. What it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so still send it to them way out because it makes them feel relaxed, and then when they procrastinate, it's on them and not you.
Yep, totally. It should always be on them.
Yeah.
So what if you, like, it's, like, a week before and they, like, haven't done it, and you can, like, log into the online thing and you, like, see they haven't done it?
Oh, well, this is my favorite time to send them an updated draft of my essays.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and say, dear professor, wanted to send along an updated draft of my essays for the application that is due on blah, blah, blah date.
Bold.
Yep. Bold that. If there's someone that you feel more comfortable with, you can even just be explicit. Dear professor, sending a friendly reminder that deadline for letter is blah, blah, blah date.
And so, like, that is fine. For your own PI, I would send the reminder where I'm like, hello, please do it.
Yes.
So one time, can I just tell like a brief story?
Yes.
It has a happy ending. I did win the award. But I email my PI. I'm like, Phil, would you please write me a letter of recommendation for this fellowship? Like, I think I'm qualified for this reason. Like, here's a draft of my essay. Like, it's due on this day, blah, 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 blah. Like, email it to this person. I send that, and then I, like, forward him the email that describes the whole situation. And then he responds and is like, happy to do it, but per the email from the foundation, it doesn't actually require a letter of recommendation. Am I missing something? And I was like, no, because I was just, like, so used to always asking for one from your PI. That's, like, par for the course for these grad student fellowships.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, I guess only I have to submit by email to this person by this day.
Yep.
But then I was like, why is there a fellowship that doesn't ask for a letter of rec?
That's very strange. Yeah.
But whatever.
It happens.
I'm over
very
it.
Very rarely. Plan on having to ask for letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so send a reminder. Great. It's okay. And it's not offensive. I always worried about sending a reminder, like, oh, maybe they're going to think that I think that they're the worst. No. When you start to come to the other side of the letter writing, you love those reminders. Like, I love getting a reminder because then I don't have to think about it so hard. It's great.
One time, this professor, fortunately at the time, I did not have a letter of recommendation request in this professor's inbox, metaphorically or not, but this professor was like, okay, if anyone has asked me for a letter of recommendation, just, like, please remind me because I have 127 letter of recommendation requests, and I don't want to miss any from people, especially people who are applying to faculty jobs. And I was like, 127? But I guess this is what happens when you, like, teach the undergrad intro course.
Yeah, wow, okay.
But I guess I got them all done, like...
Yeah, so send reminders.
It's okay. Send reminders. Yeah, someone sent me a reminder about something, and I need to do it. And I'm like, it's a good thing you sent this reminder, because I accidentally read your email and then forgot to mark as unread, and it would have been literally gone forever if you had not responded.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's asking for a letter of recommendation.
But Sally, what if I'm so worried about my professor sending the letter on time, should I lie about it?
Okay, you have all heard the horror stories of people who, like, didn't get the NDSEG because their undergrad PI didn't submit the letter of recommendation, and then they didn't have three letters, and they were just automatically not qualified. And, like, all those PIs should just not even. But anyway.
Yeah, send stuff on time.
Send stuff on time. If you are a graduate student, you know your own PI. Yeah, I do have friends that lie to their PIs about deadlines.
Yeah. I always err on the side of being honest with this.
Yeah. You can also say, like, it's officially due on this day, but I'm aiming to have the application packet complete by...
Yes.
1 week before. And yes. Then bold the week before, and they probably...
Yes. The one reason that I don't recommend people lie about it is because I've heard of cases where it was very upsetting to the PI, which I don't really think it's worth being upset about, but I could see why they would be annoyed. If they have a bunch of things going on and they realize they could have had 2 more days to do it and whatever.
Yeah.
But I am hard on my game of sending reminders.
Yeah.
So I have a 1 week out, 3 days out, and if it's still not done,
24 hours, 12 hours.
Yeah. 24 hours. It gets exponentially more frequent the closer you get to the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So,
stop by the office.
Stop by the
office. CC the admin.
Yep. Yeah. These are all great ways, all great tips. So, you know, you have to make your own judgment.
Yeah, I wouldn't lie. And also, like, PIs have been around, and so they know, in their mind, they know, like, oh, I can get away with submitting this REU recommendation late, but if I'm late on this government application system for this fellowship, I can't be late, because it will literally close the portal.
Mm-hmm.
So... Sometimes PIs, like, in a bad way, play fast and loose with deadlines because they know, like, oh, I know, I'm friends with the coordinator of this program. If I just email Kayla, like, she'll let me in. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, just be honest unless you really... But if you're an undergrad, be honest.
Yes.
If you're a grad student, you already know your own thing. And you have your own system with your own PI and you have your own understanding.
And you can even actually ask them.
Yeah.
How would you like me to remind you of this? That's fine, too.
Yep.
But, okay, undergrad, just stick with the real deadline. Great. Okay, so that's requesting letters. And remember, always say thank you.
Yes, and let them know if you get it.
Yeah, they want to know. They spend time. They're invested now. If they've written you a letter, they've put time into this, too. So they're excited about your successes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if you're the one being asked to write someone else's letter, and the case where you might be asked to write your own letter. So
the worst about that is when two of your recommenders ask for that, and then you have to write about yourself fake twice.
Yes. I have definitely had to do that. It's extremely hard.
Oh.
I tried to think about what were the different... I tried to separate the different things that the fellowship was asking for, and then focus each letter on a different set of aspects.
Oh, like, this recommender can talk about, in air quotes because you're writing it, like, your teaching skills, and then this recommender can talk about, like, your innovativeness.
Exactly, yeah. Oof. It's very hard. You have a lot of personal realization, a lot of coming, you know, finding yourself.
Yeah.
Trying to talk about yourself without making it super weird. But
should we talk about recommending other people and then we can talk about how to tweak it to recommend yourself?
Yeah. Okay.
I think the number one thing to realize when recommending other people is, first of all, students are terrified of asking you for a letter of recommendation.
Yes.
So if a student has asked you for a letter of recommendation, it's been an emotional journey for them.
Yes.
This is the number one thing that we get asked questions about in our live shows.
Yes, it is. And it can extend into a very long conversation.
And it's the number one thing that people come up and ask us about after live shows. They'll be like, okay, I interned for this person. I asked them for a letter of recommendation. They said no. So then I asked this other person and then the coordinator. And da, 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 da. I'm so sorry this happened to you. But anyway, how do you write a letter of recommendation for someone else?
Okay, so probably between the two of us, we've read hundreds of recommendation
letters. Oh, I wasn't on a missions committee, so I haven't really read that many recommendation letters. So you should just take it away.
I've read a lot of recommendation letters.
Because you were on a missions committee for 2 years.
Yes.
And each time you're responsible for how many students? Like 50?
70.
70? And each of them has how many letters recommended?
3 letters.
3. So 70 times 3, that's 210, times 2, that's 420.
So I've, yes, read at least 400 recommendation letters.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing to know is that the letter writing is very skewed. So at least in the U.S., this does get a little bit trickier when you're reading letters from professors working in other countries because the culture may be a little bit different. But in the U.S., the scale is very skewed. So what I mean by that is that if a letter says, student A was pretty great, and they did a good job, and they worked on this and that, and it was great. That's like...
That seems like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, that seems nice. But what it actually means is that they were pretty average. If the professor really liked the student, they're going to say, student was really great, they did this, they brought this idea to the lab, they worked really hard.
Compared to other students, this student's especially strength is this, this, and this. I've been a professor for X number of years, and this student is one of the top X number of students I've ever worked with.
Yes.
It's like these kind of like comparative praise. Yes.
So comparisons are key, especially quantitative ones. Like Sally was getting to, ranking the student is really useful. Now, obviously, if you're early in your career, you haven't worked with as many students, and you can't really say that as easily, but that's something
like
that
if they're your only undergrad, they're the best undergrad you've ever worked with.
Right, exactly. Low end statistics, wow.
Yeah.
But you can still make some comparisons if, and definitely if you have worked with a lot of students, definitely do that. But also, if you want to be really enthusiastic about a student, like this student was a game changer for you. They contributed tons to the research. Then you want to
give examples of what they did.
Yes.
That was how they demonstrated their independent work. How, like, what they did that was creative. Like, what they made. How they took what they learned from class and applied it in a new way and brought it into your group.
Yes, and this is just like when you're writing a CV, you want to be quantitative. So they ran these 5 different assays, and they found this result, and that result is going to be included in a publication in the next 4 months or whatever.
Yes.
So being specific, giving outcomes from the student's work with you, and sharing some example stories is really great. Another thing to keep in mind is that what you put in and what you don't put in matters.
Ooh, good one.
Because remember, most of these letters are going to sound positive, but you want this to be above and beyond. So what happens, what don't you put in? So if I read a letter that says, like, student X worked really hard and they did this and that, I get the sense that what they're really telling me is that student X was really good at, like, coming in and pipetting, but they weren't really that intellectually invested in the project.
Yep.
Another thing that's concerning is if they say something like, student X came in and they worked on this and this, and things like this suggest...
That's generic.
It's very generic, and that tells me that the student actually didn't show up all that much, or they weren't really there or invested that much.
Yeah.
So you want to think about, again, sharing example stories, sharing what their outcomes were, and there's also a culture of mentioning the person on a personal level. So saying that the student was easy to work with or was very enthusiastic or very responsible, something about, something that cues in the reader that they
were cool.
They were okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
they weren't a jerk.
But be careful that you're not using gendered language.
Yes.
So you shouldn't be mentioning, like, despite having a baby, the student was still awesome. It's like, that doesn't belong in there.
Yeah.
Shouldn't put in, just Google for yourself the literature about what gets written about men versus women in letters of recommendation. This has been studied in a number of fields, and it's very scary. Like, men are described as, like, excellent who excel, and women are described as like helpful, and men are described as leaders.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're not using language that is subtly gendered. And it wouldn't seem like, if you wrote that your female student was helpful, like, maybe she is.
Yeah.
But just be aware that those kind of...
But was she also creative, and did you write that?
Right, exactly. And, like...
Was she also innovative, and did you write that?
And, like, is she being helpful because she's a leader, and she's, like, trailblazing this, and people are following behind her and, like, learning from her?
Right, exactly.
You know? Like, I'm sure you're very helpful in the lab, Kayla, because you've, like, trained every single person on the microscope because you know more about microscopes than anyone, and you, like, made 17 new assays in the lab, and you, like, brought the whole, like, microfluidic chip things into your group, so you have to, like, train people how to make the chips now that you're gone, and, like, you were very helpful to them, but because you were, like, a trailblazer on, like, 15 different aspects of the work.
And that's what I want in the letter.
Yeah, exactly. Helpful implies that she, like, booked a conference room for some bullshit or whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
We want to separate the kinds of skills that you're looking for in research, where you're thinking and you're intellectually trailblazing.
Yeah, put those kind of things, not like, they were nice.
Exactly.
Like, they probably were nice, but we can do better.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you have never done this before, if you have never actually seen a letter of recommendation before, ask for an example. You can ask your PI, there's a good chance that some postdocs in your lab or another lab have written some, even some senior grad students. Just ask around. Somebody has an example. And hopefully you can get more than one, because there will be some calibration as you read a few.
On admissions committee? Yes. How was that? Like, the first one you read, it seems like, wow, this student is so great.
Yeah, and then you've read 30 more, and you're like, the first one was pretty average. So you want to get a sense for what a really good letter looks like versus an average letter, and you can guess what a really bad letter looks like based on some of the examples I gave.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I was just going to add, you know, back to what we were saying earlier about asking for letters, like, if you know that your PI doesn't really know what you do in the lab day to day, like, it's okay to include.
Yeah.
Another thing, my PI often, when he's writing letters of recommendation for undergrads, he'll go and look at their old group meeting slides to, like, refresh his memory.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you have good group meeting slides that are, like, tell a clear story without you there to tell the story, you know, it's, like, making sure that they can have easy access to your output because they've probably forgotten about it.
Yes. And that's a good point, too, is that when you're sending that initial email, you're sending your CV, you want to send draft of essays. What if your essays aren't up to par because you're still 6 weeks out? That's fine. But you could send something like this, which is like a summary of slides of what you've been doing or something like that. But
yeah.
And
some students take it too far and they basically like write quote-unquote bullet points, but each bullet point is like a full paragraph that could be copied and pasted directly into a letter of rec.
Yeah.
Be careful with that, though, because what if more than one of your recommenders copy and paste the same paragraph?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, keep your email short.
Yeah.
Keep your email short.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But what if you're writing the letter for yourself?
Oof.
In the name of someone else?
I mean...
It's hard. It's very hard.
Because how do you know, like, you want to write, you know, I, Sally, am the best student ever. But, like, that's not going to... Like, that's not true, so,
So,
how do you calibrate yourself?
Exactly. It's very hard. First of all, be honest with yourself, and I'm going to make the assumption here that our listeners are going to err on the side of not saying enough good things about themselves. I think this is more common than...
Than saying too much and, like, overinflating your ego because you're full of yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that does happen.
Which does happen.
But... You're probably not concerned about that if you're listening to this, so we'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. So I find that the best way to do this is to first get the facts down. Like, what have... The letters usually start off with how the person knows you, so you can write that about yourself. Professors, or I met Kayla when she was a student in my class in blah, 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 senior year, whatever. And then... she worked on this or this, or she got this kind of grade in the class. These are all facts.
Put those facts down.
Put the relationship down, put the facts about how they know you, and then get into, what are some of the achievements that you've had during your time with this person. So if it was a class, maybe you got a really good grade, maybe you had an outstanding project, And again, these all have quantitative measures or have somehow been judged. So you can just write that. Like, Kayla had the highest, I don't know, the best assay development.
In the lab class, she was the only one who consistently,
yes,
like, got a good yield on the synthesis. And yeah. I know this is because she's not only creative, like, she not only has good attention to detail, but also has, like, a deep understanding of the chemistry.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So you can...
You start with the facts, and then you can build from there.
Yeah. If you're making stuff up, they're just going to take it out. So, they're going to know.
Yeah, like, if you didn't get an A in class.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's probably...
Don't ever lie.
Don't lie. No.
It's bad. But be honest, put down the facts. Okay, and then you can get a little bit into going back through and adding some of the adjectives. I personally let the professor write the adjectives. I think that's easier for them than getting the facts. So, like, if I wrote down that I had the most consistent yields of the class, they can also go back and say, Kayla was very creative in developing the synthesis for that. Whereas maybe I just put, Kayla developed a new synthesis for
that.
Yeah,
but know the professor, because some of them are not going to add that in. So if you don't have, you know what I mean?
Yes.
If they say, Kayla, send me a good first draft and then I'll judge it up.
Yes.
That's different. Which, when I write about my undergrad students, I'll usually write, like, a full draft that kind of looks like what my PI will submit about that student. And then I'll send in the email to my PI, I'll be like, I don't know how to say it in letter of recommendation-ese,
yes,
but the straight facts, like, is this about the student. Please add some language that reflects that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So if you're doing that about yourself and you know that they'll zhuzh it up, versus if you know that they're the kind of person that will just copy paste
yeah,
and hit submit, then yes, don't leave it to chance and put in some adjectives.
Yes, exactly. So put some in. It's hard. It's very hard. And they're probably still going to, hopefully they're going to read it and put in some more. The thing I don't put in is rankings, because I think
comparison,
it's really weird.
How can you write that about yourself?
To rank yourself against your classmates or your lab mates or whatever it is. That's
another thing about writing letters of recommendation, is that a good letter is a long letter, right? And so it's okay to include things like the student was in your lab, right? And they want to go to medical school. So you'll write about their lab work. And then let's say that you also know that they are doing these other volunteer projects or whatever. You can, like, include the other things they do that aren't in your lab and talk about it. And when you are writing about a student, a good letter writer always asks the student, like, hey, Kayla, besides, like, everything I'm going to say about your work in our group, what is there anything else that would be good coming from me in the letter? And so there's a place where you can say to the faculty member, oh, like, my sophomore year, my grades were really bad. It was because I had this and this personal situation. And there, the professor can be like, I know Kayla will be successful despite her bad sophomore year grades because blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's explaining away poor grades, not explaining, but, like, providing context for poor grades, maybe if other hardships that you face, like, if it's a place where the professor can speak about that more. Or students who were in bad situations, like, let's say that Kayla, which you didn't, but let's say that you had to, like, switch labs or whatever, you know, a letter writer is better poised to say, I was really happy to take Kayla into my group after she was in this, like, toxic cesspool group that has actually never graduated a student because it's full of trash. They would say that obviously nicer, but that's something that it's way easier for a professor to say about a rough situation than for a student to say. So if you are writing a letter on behalf of a professor or about a student, always just ask the student, like, is there anything that you would feel comfortable with, like, needing me to address? And things like hardships, switching labs, whatever. Like, yeah, a professor can much more professionally speak to that than you might feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And also keep in mind that their letter will match and or expound on what's already in your CV and what they know about you. So one thing, this specific issue has come up a handful of times, which is a student puts in their essays that they have a manuscript forthcoming, and the professor doesn't back that up. Yeah. So if you're gonna, first of all, manuscript in preparation, everybody knows that everybody always has a manuscript in preparation.
I have five.
Yeah, right? So
I don't, but, you know,
so if
I
you,
could.
If you want to put manuscript in preparation, I would skip that terminology. Instead, say something like, this is, or like, the student completed enough work for a full figure, or something that's a little bit more specific about what the status of the work is. If you are in the case where you have some really good stuff, but it's just not there for publication yet, but it really will be.
Right.
Then your
PI can
PI
say that.
Needs to say that and back that up. So just be aware that those two things should match. Yes.
And I mean, it could just be an oversight on behalf of the PI because, you know, if you're an undergrad, the PI like is like, who do you work with? And like, but also like getting publications in undergrad is a mix of good science,
yeah,
good luck and good timing, right?
Yeah.
Like when I was an undergrad, the reason that I was able to get publications is, I mean, good science, check, good luck, check, like the experience worked, and good timing because I was graduating in the same semester as my mentor.
Yes.
So like as he was getting ready to even pushing it out the door, I was able to contribute meaningfully to those manuscripts. Whereas his previous undergrads from when he was like a second year, like he didn't have any publications in his second year, so they didn't get it, you know?
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah, yeah.
It still had good luck or good science, but just not good timing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a variety of situations, but make sure that those things match. And if there's a specific achievement that you want your letter writer to talk about, that's something to mention in your initial email.
Yeah.
Again, doesn't have to be long.
Bullet points.
Bullet points are fine. Two paragraphs is fine. Short paragraphs.
Yeah.
The less is almost better.
In conclusion, if you are asking for a letter of recommendation, be prepared. Have faith in yourself and just do it. I think that being prepared and knowing sort of the hidden curriculum will hopefully help you to feel empowered to ask and to ask for a strong letter. And like, let's say that's another word. You can say, would you be willing to write me a strong letter?
Mm-hmm.
That way, if the PI feels like they don't really know you, they can be like, I don't really know you, so I'll write you a letter. But if you have someone else, ask them. And you can be like, I don't really have anyone else. And they're like, okay. You know, so strong, that's a good word to keep in your asks. And then if you're writing letters of recommendation, first of all, know that the students are experiencing these anxieties, most likely, especially younger or earlier in career early career students, and understand the U.S. language. I know in other countries, people are just, like, way more bold,
mm-hmm.
or way more, like, honest, or it, like, doesn't matter about Kayla's accomplishments, it only matters about the letter writer's accomplishments. There's,
yeah.
like, other cultures.
Yes.
So understand how it works in the U.S., ask for examples. Write enough and like help your students shine. I wonder if a real professor would like say anything different, but I feel like if you've read 420 letters of recommendation, you probably know what you're talking about.
And I will say that not all letter writers are equal.
Mm.
Some people are not very good letter writers. And
how can you know ahead of time if someone that you're asking is not a good letter writer?
There's not a great way, especially at the undergrad level, because at the graduate level, you're going to have more time to get to know the PIs. And
or you can, like, ask former students about their reputation.
Yeah, I mean, but also just a sense of whether somebody is a good writer.
Or good person.
If they're going to put the time into
yeah.
your letter. So, yeah, not all letter writers are equal. But again, the best letters come from somebody who's observed you in a work experience. In a scientific work experience, specifically. So, hopefully that will cover over a multitude of,
yeah,
of letter writing problems.
You usually have more than one letter writer.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
if you're on admissions committee and there's like two amazing letters and one letter from someone that clearly like doesn't care.
It will often be two amazing letters and one like, like they're good.
I don't know them that well, but they seem cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that is asking. So all that, be prepared and just go out there and get it done.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. Well, thank you for listening to this episode
of our Skillshare series.
Yeah, very excited to share more skills.
If there's other skills you want to know, like, email us, doubleshelixpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll, like, make a skill.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, stay tuned for more and have a great
time. Good luck getting, I would accept you into the thing that you're applying for, but I'm not on the admissions committee.